Hello and welcome to another Cage Club Revisited very special episode. Not in the very special episode sense, but a very special episode in that this is probably a top five-ish Cage movie.
Really? Oh, yeah, I didn't even know that.
This is a beloved film. Vampire's Kiss from 1988. With us again, Kara Gail O'Regan. Hi, Kara.
Hello.
You may know her from her last Cage Club Revisited, G-Force. But, yeah, Vampire's Kiss is wonderful.
It's great. I love it.
I'm happy to hear it. I just picked it because it had vampires in the title.
I don't know what you're going to think of it, but we're going to find out together. We are watching the DVD today. We're putting on the English subtitles right now. This movie, for all intents and purposes, you can go ahead and play in 3, 2, 1, play. For all intents and purposes, this is where all the Cage memes that you know and love came from. Alphabet, him in a coffin.
I'm a vampire.
Him eating things. We'll get to it all. I don't want to spoil anything.
Oh man, I am excited. I have not seen this.
I have a feeling you're going to want to rewatch this one on your own one day.
New York City, baby.
World Trade Tower.
Pre-9/11.
We are playing along Cage Club movie bingo. You can download the bingo card at cageclub.me. We have the bingo card linked from every page, every Cage Club Revisited page.
It's a nice opening shot of New York City there.
It's a very nice shot.
From the bottom of...
Statue of Liberty, maybe they're on Ellis Island or something?
Maybe.
I don't know where they are.
No, because Ellis Island's like a little bit to the left.
Local references, guys.
I think it's like down below the Bowery, like on the
water.
These
are some nice shots, though.
If you're listening to this, please email us. mailbag@cageclub.me. Let us know you're listening. Let us know if you're watching the movie while listening. Let us know if you're just listening. Let us know if you're playing bingo. Let us know if you've played bingo to other Cage movies. Because this is not just for Cage Club Revisited. The bingo card is for your everyday Cage Club bingo needs.
Exactly.
I won the last game of bingo, which is surprising. I am pretty excited.
We're really setting up the sun in these opening shots. The sun is here, the natural enemy of the vampire.
But it's the setting sun, so you're getting that nice twilight.
Oh, I thought it was rising.
No, well...
It's definitely that magic hour.
Either before or after. I think, just based on like the location of the sun, I think it's setting.
Fun fact, Joseph Minion, who wrote this movie, also wrote the movie Minions.
Oh my god, are you serious?
No, I'm not serious. No. Maybe. I don't know.
No.
I don't think so.
There's no way.
Based on the true story of his life.
Robert
him Bierman? And his brothers.
I never even looked up or thought this director was worth a Google, I guess. I didn't know what else.
Worth a Google. Robert Bierman.
Ah. Hazy late 1980s New York City. All smoggy.
It's not Cage voiceover,
but he is putting on an accent.
Oh yeah,
he's doing like a sophisticated
accent is 100% crossed off already because this entire
transcontinental
movie,
sort of
yeah,
thing.
He's trying to do like a wealthy like
Catherine Hepburn,
something like that.
We don't know what he's doing in this movie.
He's rich man. He's doing rich man.
Yeah.
This is like if Tommy Wiseau had more talent, the choices he would make.
Right, if Wiseau had talent, period, right, like, if his choices were to work.
Oh, you said bad accent? We can
bad
check
accent,
that off?
Bad accent, 100%. You can check off. Mike, I'm so happy that this movie inspired a bingo square that we've not been able to cross off, that I have on my card. Cage stands on something weird.
Oh, that's right, yeah, I remember when we added that. Because,
that was a mid-game edition.
He ends up standing on things throughout so many movies.
Including this one. We will get to it.
He needs to be, like, high up to sort of see below and be able to...
To disperse his power.
Yeah.
To the minions.
I think this is where David Hyde Pierce shows up.
How many times can I use the word minions in this podcast recording?
Well, three so far.
You gonna keep a tally?
Oh, yeah.
Here's cool. David Hyde Pierce, right? Am I not mistaken? Is he somewhere
Cage
along
drinks
here?
Alcohol. Do it. Somewhere. Do it, Cage. Take a sip. Give me that bingo card. Kara, do you think this... Because, like, Mike and I have been unabashed that we think Cage has been attractive in things. I can't tell in this... He gets crazy looking, but here, when he's still put together, do you think that this Cage is attractive? Have you ever thought he's attractive is a better question.
No.
So then...
Okay, then...
So then
that's gonna
that answers
no.
the question. On the scale, though, of, like, where he's been this or whatever, do you think this is closer to...
Closer to a high point, I think.
All right.
I don't know.
I do think when he was younger and, like, you know, in Racing with the Moon, like, when he, like, takes his shirt off to get tattooed or whatever, like, he's been... I can see why people would be in love with him.
See, I always thought
that... Are people in love with him?
Some people are kind of in love with him.
Maybe.
Interesting.
My sort of... You know, when we talk about Keanu, and it's like, you think of Keanu, you think of Neo, as in his just, like, residual self-image, like, it's just the thing that comes to mind. For me, it's kind of like Cage in, like, The Rock, or Face Off, somewhere in that zone.
Clean
like,
cut more?
That Cage, I feel, he's sort of more closer to middle-aged and
yeah,
really
I think
formed Cage.
My
maybe.
Mental picture of Nicolas Cage is from Con Air, which is, like, not a great look for him.
I was also thinking, like, Raising moment. Arizona, he'd never
oh,
looks like that
yeah.
again, too, you know what I mean? So...
I don't know. He, like, doesn't... Raising Arizona, he looks okay.
He has a little bit of that vampirism to a degree where he does look very much like he always looked, you know? Like, just aside from a couple lines and a little bit of extra weight. Like,
what do you do, Mr. Wise Guy? His answer? Literature.
He's an editor, right? Like, that's his thing?
He is an editor.
He's a book editor. I wonder if he edits novelizations.
I really, really hope so. There's a chance that he drives a red sports car on this. I don't think he does. In which case, I would get... Check it off.
I've got a bad card.
Take off one more piece of clothes, lady, and I will get a checkbox. I will get the nudity checkbox. Right now, we are still in...
Well, she did just take off a shoe, and now a stocking. How did she take off both of them?
She is a vampire. This is not the vampire.
No. I think he's being watched by the vampire due to this angle we're seeing outside the window.
Which is pretty phenomenal. It's a very nice New York apartment. I mean, it's
she
not...
She took off her scrunchie.
You know, he's got the leather couch.
So when I said she's
taking
off one more piece of clothing, I lied. She's taking off five pieces of clothing.
She
still
needs to
no
be...
Nudity.
I think... What do you look at? The naked card, right?
Nudity. Yeah, I got nudity in the bottom right on this thing.
I mean, technically, nudity shouldn't mean you have to bare breasts or...
No, but like, butt. Like she's not nude.
No,
she's
yeah.
clothed.
Oh, there we go. It happened between shots. That's a first. It's a continuity flub.
That is very strange that she took off her bra, like, between the time that they started falling to the bed and fell on the bed or the
you
couch.
Know, it's actually less weird than her managing to take off both stockings at once.
Oh, there's the vampire.
Here comes the bat.
It's like, you get very good at ninja taking off your bras.
Well, now they're in a bed. I thought they were on a couch before.
They
were on the couch and they moved across the room.
Yeah.
Like, there was definitely some movement.
They teleported to the bed when the bat came in. There it goes again. Did she run out topless?
You know, that happens in a lot of movies, I feel. Men and women both run out of apartments.
Naked. Like,
yeah.
Undressed. There she goes.
Which, and there's still a kid upstairs watching, I believe,
is she
right?
laughing or crying?
I think she's laughing.
I think she's laughing, because, I mean, it's funny. She didn't get bit,
sure.
You know what I mean? This kid. Amazing.
Is he the vampire?
That would be nice.
Cage is shirtless. We almost had shirtless Cage.
What was
He's
that?
Not shirtless, though.
He just, like, fixed his hair, and the vampire bat squeaked at him, and he got scared off.
Now, what's amazing, if I'd have known you had a fucking roommate, what's amazing is that this does not end the date. They are about to compromise, which is our Cage Club word for sex. They're about to compromise.
Inside of a taxi.
She runs out because there's a bat in the room, and they just continued the date. Like, they got home for the evening.
And they're going back out.
Got chased out. Let's keep the night going.
Well, yeah, I mean, what else are you going to do?
Really good question.
But you'd think that she would call it a night or something. I mean, I don't know. We never see the conclusion of that evening.
It's just Jacob's ladder situation never ended.
Lots of really long pans of office buildings in this movie.
Back to what we were wondering about with those opening shots, I think it was dawn, because just chronologically, the following scene was daytime.
There we go.
So I was wrong.
And he works in the foreign department here, so I don't know exactly what that means when you're an editor.
All I know is that you need to know how to file things correctly.
Here she comes.
Alva!
Marita Cachinta Alonso.
This woman.
Wait.
If you thought women were treated poorly in movies before, just you wait.
It's like, this is probably the most against type this actress has ever played any role ever. Like, I know her as a really tough person in most of her movies. Like, I mostly just know her from Running Man. I'm just gonna flat out say it. I know her from The Running Man, where she kicks a lot of ass in that movie and keeps up with Arnold. So it's weird to rewatch this and see her. Oh, no socks.
She flung them off in a fit of passion. She notices it. She's got the details down.
She kind of likes him.
Well, I mean, what's not to like? He's a powerful man in New York City who looks like Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, but he talks like that.
Talks like that, yeah.
Very. Was this the movie he almost got fired from? There were a couple movies he almost got fired from because he just started, like, he just, like, made choices about, like, the way he was going to talk, the way he was going to act. Mm-hmm. People were like, no, what are you...
Yeah, he
does
was going to affect a voice.
Does he do, like, a method stay-in-character thing, or just, like, on-screen
not
choices
from what
that
I remember.
Are...
I
did
think
stuff
so.
Like remove a tooth and... to play in a war movie, and he yikes. Does... He's...
Which,
he's he. I would say he's, like...
Well, Shia, because Shia took a tooth out.
He's, like... Yeah, but him, too. I feel like they're casual method actors. Like, they get partially into it for some roles, but not going all out for everything.
Right.
I remember hearing something about they not getting along at first, but eventually everything started to click with this movie, because I think there's a audio commentary to the director. I'm pretty sure he's satisfied with Cage.
Worth a Google. There was a movie... Oh, it was Deadfall, wasn't it? That, like... Because Deadfall was directed by his brother.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, I'm going to do these crazy things. So, like, no, you're not. And then he...
Yeah, he wanted to be an albino in that
right.
movie. And his brother's like, you could do anything but that.
So this movie was so poorly received, from what Mike and I gather, that he basically couldn't find work. This is our story. I don't know if this is true or not. And then had to go to Italy and made Time to Kill, right? That was
right.
after this,
the
right?
Leopard movie, yeah. Mm.
And then he came back and did Wild at Heart with David Lynch.
He makes love with a girl who has leprosy and then thinks he has it, but then finds out at the end she died from some other reason. She wasn't a leper after all.
A timeless story.
Tale as old as time.
It's pretty... That's a bottom five Cage movie.
Oh, yeah, by easily.
Although, and not just because of that, like, just because of everything else about the movie.
It's a terrible movie.
I really think that to watch Nicolas Cage movies... you need to sort of put on the back burner worrying about sexism, because they're just,
yeah.
it's rampant. In, I mean, you guys have talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's rampant in literally everything.
It's, but like, it's especially, like, it's sort of like subtle in a lot of movies and more overt in others, and then like, it really took until Drive Angry in like 2007, 2008 or whatever, no, 2010, 11, no, 2011, where we're like, oh, this is in like movie number 55 or whatever. This is the first strong female character that we've had
yeah.
in a movie. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, okay. But yeah, I mean, it's not great.
Yeah, and especially since, like, you know, a lot of his work is just leans more towards action and comedy. It just feel like a lot of that...
Which, as genres, do not
cater, yeah.
Well,
not cater
women aren't
well.
Funny, so...
Well, that's
obviously.
What I'm That's what I'm getting at. No.
And they don't have muscles.
Right, they're weak and they're not funny, so... Why would they be in a Nick Cage movie? No. But, I mean, honestly, one of my favorite characters is Dr. Abigail Chase. She could be National Treasure herself. There's no need for Nick Cage in that movie. They basically come in and be like, we need your help. And then the rest of the movie, they're like, just stick around in case we need your help. She should be off solving the whole thing all by herself. Like, it's very frustrating at times.
And that movie is so terribly sexist toward her. That Brigsby Bear shirt that I was... Listeners, I was just bidding on a Brigsby Bear t-shirt that I gave up on because I was outbid. Sold for $92.
Oh, my God. Glad you didn't get that. I hope you.
I was
going
to raise it to 80, and then I did not. I'll get one eventually.
I used to feel bad buying like secondhand like Japanese Nintendo games for over $50, and you're buying a shirt for $90. I'm like, maybe I'll go on eBay later and get some more games.
Well, when were you buying games? Was this a while ago?
No,
or was this, like,
I mean,
recently?
Up until recently, like every once in a while, I'll add to my.
I thought you were saying like back when $50 meant it was more valuable than $90.
No, so like
it was
order,
recently.
Yeah, it was like last month. I ordered my most recent Famicom game from Japan, so still building that collection little by little.
Interesting, interesting.
Does he just do, like, 10-minute therapy sessions?
Yeah, or? It's on his own terms.
And it's also, he just talks and, like, doesn't, like, wait for feedback.
Well, that's how I imagine most men are in therapy.
Probably. Who knows?
Here he is messing with Alva again.
There's no sexism yet. We're going to get there. See, this is the kind of physical acting that Mike and I genuinely love. Like, there's no reason for his arm to be up like that. You know what I mean?
Well, he's telegraphing his emotions. I feel like he's very frustrated with her because
he's mansplaining. I'm crossing off overt sexism.
She hasn't done what he asked for. It's been a couple minutes. I mean, really, Alva? Could they make, like, literally, she's missing glasses and, like, a pocket protector. Like, what is that dress?
Yeah, she looks like, I mean, it has, like, a real, like, Little House on the Prairie vibe.
Yeah.
They've got to shoot all that her.
This is when he goes out for the, this is David Hyde Pierce coming up. This is when he goes out and picks up a vampire.
Pretty cool soundtrack. So this is Lindsay Gibb, Cage author Lindsay Gibb. She wrote National Treasure, Nicolas Cage. Go buy that wherever books are sold. This is her favorite Nicolas Cage movie. It's in my top 5 or 10, I think. I don't know exactly where.
I really got to give it another good rewatch. Like, it's always high. It's always high for me. It's always top 10, at least. Like, because part of what really I like about it is that it's like this weird New York movie, too. Like, There's David Hyde Pierce. With the glasses and the mustache and the coif.
Oh, my God. I forgot about him with the mustache.
Number 7 right now.
Okay.
I rewatched Wet Hot American Summer, like, in sequence with the prequel and the sequel. I have very confusing feelings about David Hyde Pierce in Wet Hot American Summer and his mustache, and I don't understand what's happening. But he's, like, weirdly sexy, and it's just very confusing to me.
His part in the most recent, the 10 years later?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His role in that is hysterical.
Yeah.
Where he's like, is that it, guys? Did you need another take? Was that all? And he's, like, literally doing it on the iPhone, like, over FaceTime.
I didn't like the new series.
He's literally phoning it in, is what he was doing.
I need to read. I do feel like that's going to be something that, like, I like more the second and third time through or whatever.
I loved the movie up until the last episode.
I love the movie. I love the prequel series. Yeah, the last episode where there's like, it's all the presidents. It's just like,
That bummed me out. But up until then, I was loving it. I loved the first one they did. The
first day of camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Aggressively making out.
Yep. More nudity.
Oh, because she's a vampire?
Yeah.
Okay.
And here comes the kiss.
The vampire's kiss. The titular vampire's kiss.
Flashdance kiss.
Now, if you thought he was emphatic before this, just you wait. I'm going to make this magic
flashdance. I mean, Cage
freaks
out, right? He's kind of freaking out.
Is he shirtless? No, he's always wearing a shirt. Cage, take your shirt off.
How long do you have to bite a neck?
Well, that's the thing. Like, did he actually get bitten by a vampire? Because, like, that's not how a vampire...
Well, yeah, I think the conclusion in my mind ultimately is she vampire.
Well, it's the initial bite. She has to break the skin, but then she has to drain her body of all of its life force.
True. Oh, wait, she's got padding over her breast so you can't see her nipple.
Mm. Oh, look at that.
The human body contains about 4 liters of blood, so it may take a while.
I don't even know if it's conclusive that he was actually transformed or that it's all just his excuse for acting like a jerk-ass rapist later on.
That's the real
question. That's the movie. It's like, is it just about, like, is it a American Psycho situation where this businessman has just lost his mind? Sorry, spoil American Psycho partially. Or is he really...
Cage is shirtless.
And shaving.
Do we have Cage shaves.
Man, I gotta wow.
You know he shaves in, like, 13 movies?
That's insane.
It's one of his main things, yeah.
We didn't know that until Lindsay Gibb pointed it out, and now I can't stop thinking about it ever. He's singing.
Ooh, I might actually win this one.
Is he ready for bed or what?
No, he just woke up.
I know.
That's
but
a
he
morning
looks
robe.
Ready for bed. When are these extras? Oh, it's Sunday.
I love it.
He's talking.
That voice is the fucking worst.
You ready for this?
Would you say an attractive
no one in
woman?
The bed.
Would you say an attractive woman had just found Cage irresistible? daytime, dude.
What?
So good. I don't understand it, but I love it. I love it. Do you think he made peaches for breakfast? That'd be good.
I wouldn't mind that.
Wouldn't mind that.
Oh, this is the girl he was on the date with.
The first girl.
Yeah, the first girl.
He's got a type.
He's got a thing for curly-haired girls.
Curly-haired, wow. Light-skinned.
All three of them kind of look like they could be related or sisters.
There's only two of them.
No, and Alva. If you think about Maria Conchita Alonso, she's got close to the same type of look.
She has her hair in a braid, so you can't tell if it's curly or not. Interesting paintings.
But they're not like these white women, you know? They're not like these blonde hair.
Are they just done on the wall, or is it odd that it's on something that's on the wall?
No, they look like canvases.
Yeah.
That looks like sex on that canvas.
Okay, are you going to run?
I realize that the new museum is actually that old.
More like the old museum.
Yeah.
Oh, look, people are watching installations on upside-down televisions.
He just left his date, though. Just straight up
left.
He
said he had to go to the bathroom.
Gallery. Yeah.
Never coming back.
Interesting.
Poor girl.
I mean, probably just dodged a bullet, but... Oh, man, answering machines.
Oh, I'm going to have to make this my answering machine message soon.
Hello, you have reached Michael.
I'll get back to you just as soon as I can.
Oh, breakup over VM.
I don't know if he enjoys the sunlight.
Was this the original ghosting?
Oh, snap.
I love that, where you can have one sentence. It's like a palindromic two-sentence structure.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
That is good.
Cage is basically on the verge of death right here. And we are 20 minutes into the movie. We still have an hour 20 to go.
Is he on the verge of death, or is he just depressed?
It's hard to say. This movie does not deal in absolutes or actual answers. He's a troubled man. We know that for sure.
It's a really weird Band-Aid placement. Like, I feel like it would be...
Well...
But that's where the vampire kissed him.
Yeah, but...
But he also cut himself shaving in that same spot. So...
Is it the kiss or is it the cut?
Ooh, the vampire's cut.
Or is it all in his mind? Mm. Did he cut himself shaving the next day so that he could pretend it was a vampire?
Something more... Sexual.
That's a great furrowed brow look with the hair and everything. It almost looks like Plastic Man or something. Like he's like he can. Like,
oh, this is also the movie where the "You Don't Say" meme came from, and you'll see that shortly. You know that one?
I don't think so.
We'll point it out when it comes up. Teaser.
Oh, it's been
teaser
so
taster for a future event within this Cage Club Revisited commentary. This is maybe... I mean, I don't know if these are all lies. I don't know if these are the truth. He doesn't go to therapy a lot in this movie. So this is kind of a different type of Cage from many other movies, which is sort of unique and sort of cool.
He never quite ever performs this role again. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes he'll go into that little bag of Cage and pull out a voice or something, and, like, this is the only time we really get this.
The affected British
high-class
gentleman.
But also, like, the way in which he sort of sinks into insanity and loses his mind, you know?
I just want to point out that he just... I don't even know how to describe what
he did. I don't even know, like...
Blinked and, like, chomped his teeth.
I think he was, like, making fun of her. Like, being like, meh, meh,
I think it was the sound of her voice, like, yeah. It bothers him.
Oh, man, another... dowdy floral boxy dress.
Her wardrobe in this is spot on.
You could just lay that on a table one day and not know the difference.
Is this the scene? Is it? Freaking out. What else are you doing though, Alva? Like, I'm not doubting you, but like...
But isn't she has to find, like, one file that might not even be there? It's been misorganized.
We should maybe... Do you think we should add Cage on the phone to Bingo? He's on the phone a lot.
We could. He's on the phone a lot in Honeymoon in Vegas, I'll tell you that much.
Airport jail. This is a tough movie because I want to take in the nuances of his performance.
Yeah, I want to watch
it. And I don't want to just talk over it. However, having just listened to our commentary of The Trust, which I thought we did a pretty good job of talking over most of it, there were still long swaths of silence.
Oh, really?
Which is not
that was just
great.
The two of us, wasn't it?
It was. But I can already tell that Kara is engrossed in this film because she has been rather quiet as opposed to G-Force, which we just didn't talk about. We didn't stop talking about literally anything other than the movie for all 88 minutes.
Would you say that this is an adaptation of Bram Stoker's Dracula or not?
No, I'm not going to give you credit for that.
Well, but it is kind of an adaptation.
See, that's a meme. Am I getting through to you?
Is it a GIF-worthy scene?
Yep.
GIF-worthy
absolutely.
Scene?
It is a GIF.
There's also one for Cage Points, if you have that. That is a...
Oh, yeah, Cage Pointing's major. Like that, okay, like, you know, shaving, pointing...
Oh, he's smoking cigarettes, which when we did it in Snowden, we pointed out that he doesn't really smoke that much.
Yeah, smoking should be a thing. I feel like he smokes every so often.
Anybody smokes or just he smokes? What should I make it? Cage
See,
smokes
I want
or just
it to
smoking?
Be more Cage geared. Like, I think, like, Cage should
smokes.
Be dancing. Cage has to sing. Cage this. Cage, you know, I'm not going to say we need to change it. Like, if anybody has a pair of crazy eyes in the movie, check it off. But.
Well, he's basically Keanu's character in Dracula, right?
Oh, no, the Renfield, the other guy. That was.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That was the musician.
The guy from Ally McBeal.
You're confusing Keanu's character in that with a plank of wood.
No, but you're right. The Renfield character is the one that is sort of like under the,
the
curse
spell.
Of Dracula.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the spell. Like does his bidding. And...
Yeah, Keanu basically just gets captured and then thrown into...
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
His eyes. See, it's not just Alpha's voice. It's just...
Yeah.
You know.
That was such a good face.
Yeah, you know what's funny about rewatching Bram Stoker's Dracula? I didn't realize the character of Jonathan
Cage
Parker.
Runs.
Oh, I didn't realize the character... Mimes? Do we have mimes in the... I didn't realize that Harker is basically just...
A common thing in Cage films of mimes and mimicry.
But that in the story, that Jonathan Harker is basically just, like, thrown to the female vampires to beat off and die. Like, he
well,
has
to... That's
what
he is in the movie, basically.
I know that is, but I didn't...
Oh, that's
throughout
true
the years,
book.
That's like the main part of the story I never remember. Is like he is literally like tried to be like eaten to death
by Monica Bellucci.
Yeah, and her two friends.
Love it.
This is a very awkward shot because like it's just a lobby cam.
Well, or is it a bat up there?
Oh, it could be a bat hanging out up there. Maybe that's what all the bird's eye views are about.
Bat vision.
If I get subtitles,
it looks
I win.
Like she's got little
I don't think we're
bat cat ears with that bow in her hair. She looks like Catwoman.
Hello there, hell here. Who's a better Catwoman, Michelle Pfeiffer or Anne Hathaway?
Halle Berry.
No, not Halle Berry.
I like Anne Hathaway as the character, but I like Anne Hathaway, I think. I like the suit in the Batman Returns more. It's a, I don't know. I wish there was some way to combine the two. Dark Knight's closer to the character, but Tim Burton's is just kind of more interesting. I still got to see Halle Berry's Catwoman, but I hear it's one of those like
it's
so bad it's good. It's not. It's not good though. I hear it's like one of those like you know, like not even bad it's good, but like so terrible I can't believe they made it kind of thing.
Well, I saw it once a couple years ago. I don't remember anything about it, but they just did an I Was There Too. Just did as in a couple months ago as we're recording this, but probably 6 months ago by the time you hear this. Janet Varney of the JV Club. Was on I Was There Too to talk because she was party girl in Catwoman. So there's like one scene where like Catwoman's next door to a party that's going on and she swings into the party or something, like breaks up the party or something.
More mimes.
And Janet Varney is same mimes. And Janet Varney's like in the background as party girl.
Huh. He's still
and
got
so they talked about that.
I went to high school. I'm still in touch with her. This girl, she was in Bad Boys 2. She crawls across a table in the party scene and someone puts ecstasy on her tongue and then she dances under like the shower.
Oh,
thing,
her!
I think. No, there's like a whole, but like she actually gets like, you could tell from her face like, oh, that's her.
Yeah.
You ain't seen Bad Boys 2?
I finally did see Bad Boys 2.
That is a more reasonable Band-Aid placement than it was when he was at the therapist's office. Like, just the way that it was, like...
askew.
Yeah.
This also seems like the longest Band-Aid in the history of Band-Aids. It's going from his hairline to basically the middle of his cheek.
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes into his hair, like his actual haircut. I like the building he lives in. I think I said it in the podcast. It reminds me of like a mausoleum. Like he's almost already inside of it. Living Dead kind of thing.
We did this movie so long ago.
Yeah. It's an early Cage.
Who was our guest on this episode?
Oh, he was a one-timer.
It was Todd. Todd Van Mulligan. Larson's
I don't know why
friend.
He never came back, but I thought he was perfectly fine.
Perfectly fine.
But that happened. We had a couple one-off guests. Did Mike Milnes ever come back for anything?
He just
did Con Air. And that was such a great episode.
He was going to come back for our Justice League episodes, and then we ditched Affleck.
He
still has one of my favorite quotes in the history of Cage Club.
Mine too.
The army. They're in the desert. Surround them. Because they're just talking about, like, when they're in Con Air, like, they just basically allow the criminals to have a pathway out. Like, no, you have unlimited resources. You can just circle them. Just do it. But nope.
Reminds me, one of my favorite Futurama jokes is when people in space were protesting.
Oh, man. How many times does he freak out in this movie?
Oh, every scene.
Kara, I hope you realize that this is really tame compared to where we're about to be.
Oh, wow.
So in Futurama, they're like, they have like a human chain around the spaceship out in space.
And the
spaceship just goes vertical and drives away. And they're like, ah, we didn't account for that.
That Z-axis.
Space is tricky like that. Like the
Do
desert.
They say the name of this movie in the movie?
Unfortunately, so. No. But I'm,
I would totally want
to
say
it. They did say it in G-Force, like this, welcome to G-Force. So I had that. But
cool shot of somebody walking down. It's not just somebody, it's the vampire.
Look, vampire. He's frozen in fright.
Did Jennifer Beals do anything like other than this in Flashdance?
She didn't even do most of that Flashdance stuff. There was an actual breakdancer called Crazy Legs who did a lot of her dancing, actually.
Yeah.
So, but no, I don't remember her from a lot. I just remember she was supposed to be huge, and never was.
Now, it's intentional that they look almost identical,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I think
okay.
so.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's another thing that I can't tell when movies are doing. They're trying, like, if it's me just confusing hair. Or if they're trying to pull off, like, these characters are the same person.
I mean, well, it could go either way in this because it is 1989. so, like, the big curly hair could...
But I think also cutting back between this stuff and her on the date waiting, like, you're literally seeing them shot to shot. And they do look a lot alike. She has to kiss him again.
She's got the breast cover, too. This is probably the same scene.
Yeah.
They're all in the same clothes.
There was a couple vampire movies lore where you have to get bit more than once. I think there's like Jim Carrey did one where like Love at First Bite or something. So that's not completely.
There's the Adam Sandler
or,
50 First Bites.
In other vampire lore, like you have to drink from the vampire to become a vampire. Yeah, it can go in a lot of different directions.
I wonder why this isn't subtitled, him just yelling Alva's name.
Yeah, not even with, like, quotes or anything around it. Like, screaming, Alva.
I like how everybody's just like, are you going to get up?
But it looks like there's, like, a waiting room.
Oh,
like,
Cage stands on something weird.
Wow.
Wonderful.
But are people over there waiting to get their books edited?
Like, I just love how she's just running away from him. As she should, because he's a lunatic.
And he's... full speed running after her down the hall.
Into the ladies' room.
He's just so thrown by the light. This old woman is...
And she just walks out.
She's not in the movie. She's like, she's not asking Cage what's happening. She's like, why is there a camera in this ladies' room?
Well, she's serving the part of the audience, asking the questions that the audience would be asking.
I like it. Sort of Chekhov's gun. We'll get to that. No spoilers, but a little bit of a spoiler.
Was that what she said?
No, but she's saying she has a gun. She'll use it.
On her boss. Who has chased her into the ladies' room.
Is that overreacting, guys?
I don't know. Him chasing her is an overreaction.
No, but just like... fleeing in fear, and well, I get the running away part, but screaming, I have a gun.
Given what we know now,
maybe not,
about
yeah,
women in the workplace
it's,
and how
it's
men
actually,
treat
if anything,
them,
she should have done more. Like, she should have a knife.
Oh, go ahead, Mike. Blame the woman. I see what you're doing.
Exactly. There's always a way to turn it around on
when she's dressing like that.
Wait. Can you, what was that thing he just said about a little office trauma?
Yeah, they're all just talking about how terrible she is.
She does keep a gun in that little bag of her.
Taking out the felon, 1, 2, 3?
Yep. It's such a boy's
such
this
is my name
Hollywood
written anywhere on the bathroom wall? And if like, so, what does it say?
This is the scene that is indicative of the problems in society today.
Yeah.
But it also feels like a satire of it, but also not.
It's a little too sharp, I feel, to be making fun
I would love it if there was like a burn book on the bathroom walls of like the women's bathroom in every workplace. Of just like all of the terrible people.
It would be great if you went to a real bathroom and it said Peter Lowell on it. His character name from this movie. Stay out of my life. She hand-delivered that.
But, like, he's not in her life anymore.
No, this is Alpha. Yeah, that is...
No, that's not from Alpha. Wow. That's from the date that he abandoned.
Oh, that's from the date. Okay.
That is some serious acting.
Yes.
It's really, truly wonderful.
Whoa, that guy was really rushing for the subway.
This is back before the subway was safe.
She's got to go all the way to Pelham.
Subway's safe?
Oh, yeah. It's unsafe again.
Yeah.
We've come full circle in the New York City metro system. Yeah.
Cool. Everything is cyclical. Technology is cyclical.
I don't remember following Alva home. This doesn't seem necessary.
Is that Cage singing?
Yep. I think so.
Or is it somebody on the subway singing?
I think it's somebody on the subway.
Oh, it's the subway guy singing.
I also don't have... Wait, is this an Elvis or Beatles song?
Beautiful Dreamer? No, I think it's just a jazz standard. I don't know who wrote it. Maybe Benny Goodman? I don't know. I have no clue. Beautiful Dreamer goes way back.
I do like the idea that Alva is so rattled by Cage that even when she's not near Cage, she is unsettled.
That's... pretty par for the course if you have a really pervy boss.
Which is why, like, obviously you're not watching this for Alva, but I think that, like, the way that they treat her character is interesting. Because she's literally only doing her job.
Yeah.
And he's a lunatic. And then she has a sketchy subway ride home. I kind of wish we spent more time with Alva, but, like, I don't know.
Well, I feel like cutting back to Peter exploding in his apartment is how she thinks of him every day after work.
Yeah.
So she's home on the subway, and that's what she's thinking about her boss. It's like, he's a maniac.
Got a little upset.
Oh, is this the alphabet?
I think it is.
Jennifer Beals was on the L Word, and she's in Book of Eli and Four Rooms, apparently.
Four Rooms, a Tarantino thing?
Yeah, was she tied up in a chair or something for a sequence? And then at the end, she's eating a sandwich, maybe?
All I remember of Four Rooms is there's the witches stirring a cauldron, and then there's the Zippo lighter.
Oh, wow, I don't remember very
ooh,
much.
Cage starts running. I missed that in the hallway.
Yep.
Mm.
Oh, she's in Before I Fall, Joey. How did you miss that?
Because I don't recognize who Jennifer Beals is.
She had a different haircut. She's been working.
Get ready, Kara, because I think this is the scene that we've been... one of the scenes that we've been alluding to. Yep. You ready for this? This is what the Taylor Swift song Ready For It is about.
Beautiful Dreamer.
This specific scene.
I'll tell you after.
Yep. I hope, listener, you are watching this movie as we talk about it. If you are, you know what we know. that we are in one of the best scenes in Vampire's Kiss. This is a scene, Kara, that I bet you might have seen just because it's made its way around the internet so much in both video form and graphic form, and just, it's the stuff of legends, really. And I'm just trying to, like, ramp up to it and not have just silence as we wait for this. What if that was Sigourney Weaver?
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have much to do, so I don't think it will be. See, the camera is, like, tilting down to go as he goes up? Here we go. This is it. That's all you have to do!
Wonderful.
Very wonderful. You know the alphabet.
He's so
indignant.
Toddler-esque in this.
Yeah.
And even when she's like, you know, very good, you know your alphabet, like, he is like a 4-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
It's really... Now, would you consider what he just did a workout?
No.
I think that workouts require some sort of intention.
Now, Kanye West's song, The New Workout Plan, was that about this scene?
Now, if you want to file the song Beautiful Dreamer, that we're not talking about anymore, sung by Al Jolson and Bing Crosby.
They were in the Beatles, right?
Composer Stephen Foster.
He was on the Beatles, right?
Fifth Beatle.
They were the Beatles, and then they broke up, and the other guys became the Beatles.
They were the Beatles, okay.
1826 to 1864.
What is going on here?
So somewhere around that time.
He's just smoke. Well, it was the 80s, so you could smoke inside. But
well,
why
he's got
his
Terminator
sunglasses?
Shades on.
If he started asking for Sarah Connor, that would be the best. He's so eccentric, and that's just to give him a second thought.
Yeah, that excuse has been working for 20 years.
See, here's the other thing about Alva in this movie. He's not really weird or aggressive to anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, everybody else is just like, oh, he's so weird. But she's like, no, you have no idea how
weird
he is.
You have no idea. He's actually a psychopath. Well, yeah. I mean, that's how this stuff works.
He's gaslighting her, basically.
Yeah. That, like, oh, he's always been nice to me. I mean, he's a little eccentric, but, you know. And then she's the one who sees, like, what an actual psycho he is. Pistachio?
You know, mescaline, Mike, that's the only way to fly.
Did he do mescaline?
Well, he's saying he did, which is why that's his apology.
Okay.
Like, oh, I did mescaline, I'm sorry.
Wow, great
like,
apology,
that would explain everything okay. Like, that's okay, yeah, that's a fair excuse.
Have you ever had that feeling where you're not sure if you're awake or still sleeping?
All the time.
It's called mescaline. That's actually, you know that's the right line, right? It's all the time.
Oh, really?
All the time, man. It's called mescaline. It's the only way to fly.
What is it?
You should really
what's that
relax, movie? Unwind, man. Take some R&R.
Starts with an M. Starts Keanu.
What do you think, du jour? Definitely. Yeah. Sure. I'll go. Cue Rob Zombie's Dracula. It's the Matrix. It's the beginning of the Matrix.
Hmm.
It's when, I don't know what his name is. It's the guy in du jour show up at his apartment in the beginning, and he gives him the hacked whatever, and then he goes to the club, and that's where he meets Trinity. That's the first time I ever heard what mescaline was. I still don't know what mescaline is. I don't know if it's an upper, I don't know if it's a downer.
It was big in my high school.
It's a psychedelic that is derived from cactus, I think.
It's kind of like a hallucinogen.
Yeah.
But it's weaker than like acid, and it's weaker. It's almost like magic mushrooms in a way, but like
I don't think it lasts as long.
Yeah, and it's not natural either. It's a chemical.
Would it excuse what he did?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. Most people get real mellowed out on it, and like you touch stuff all night.
Oh, I've seen this.
I'm gonna do cage smoke.
I've seen this.
Crazy eyes.
This is the you don't say.
Okay. Yeah.
You don't say.
Cage smokes or does drugs is gonna be one.
Oh, is that on here?
No. That's what I'm adding.
Oh.
Crazy eyes. Wow, I already had crazy eyes in this movie. And
yeah, I did too.
Like,
if you guys didn't know, you didn't remember that we are getting peak Crazy Eye Cage.
Yeah, wow.
Crazy Eye Cage, anything like Cotton Eye Joe? I don't think she understands, yo.
I really want Peaches to show up, but Peaches, you know, I don't think they're in this movie. The crazy thing is he in this movie is, like, 24?
Yes, yes.
Like, in real life or his character?
I don't know what his character is, but in real life he's, like, 24.
Wow.
Isn't that kind of nuts? He always
looks
older.
Yeah.
And Keanu always looks younger. And they're the same age.
They're both born in 64. Wow. Along with Sandra Bullock.
That's right.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't look a day over Miss Congeniality, so...
Classic movies. A baguette sticking out of the grocery bag. You know exactly where he was.
Walking down the sidewalk looking very sad.
It is so lonely. Like, oh, the cross. Like, every...
What kind of late 80s New York movie is this? He falls down on the sidewalk, and some guy in a Letterman jacket comes and helps him.
A black guy helps him. That's... antithetical to everything I knew about the 80s in New York City.
Every couple of scenes this movie amazes me with an incredible reveal like the one we just saw of the cross.
Guess who's back?
Oh, third night.
Now, so here's the question. If this woman's not real, if he's not actually bit by a vampire...
Yeah. That is a great dress, though.
Do you think that what he's doing instead is just harassing the other woman?
That's possible.
Because she handwrote that note, like, stay out of my life.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they look so much alike?
That's what I'm saying. It would be cool if it was the same actress in both parts. Mm. It was Jennifer Beals in both parts.
I like,
I mean,
the ambiguity of it more now because of how much more, like, just that extra layer, like, is he thinking about the girl he really does like? Is this actually happening? Like, what is him going through his mind? Is he just sitting in a corner jerking off to this? Like, what is happening?
Keep in mind, we get no answers. So it's whatever you want it to be.
And that's what I love.
Choose your own adventure.
And yeah, there aren't enough... I don't want to say it's a good film, but there aren't enough movies that do that to the degree where it still works as a movie.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this still works without an answer. It might not be great, but it works. I feel like there's more modern movies trying to tie things up they shouldn't.
I mean, it works, and I'm not just saying this because of who we are, but it works because he is so committed to what's going on here.
Right. He's game. Like, you have to be down with this idea 1,000% to even hope that it's going to come across correctly.
Is this a workout?
Oh, no, it's not too on TV. I missed that the first time. He would go on to make Shadow of the Vampire, which was about the making.
Yeah,
of
wait, was he?
He produced it. Saturn.
Oh, interesting.
That.
He did not know that.
So it's kind of a connection there. And Willem Dafoe plays Max Schreck. It's so freaking good.
Willem Dafoe from Wild at Heart.
Yeah, Bobby.
Willem Dafoe from Dog Eat Dog.
That's right. Don't know his name in that one.
Willem Dafoe in
and
the
Malkovich is in it too from Con Air.
The Florida Project, which is he's so good. The Florida
I believe
Project.
Malkovich plays Murnau, the director, and he's like
FW.
He's like, yeah, and he's like telling Dafoe, he's like, "You really gotta eat him." And the guy's like, "Don't worry, he's not really gonna eat you." And he's like, "Eat him."
I haven't seen that.
It's cool. It's like presupposes that the actor who played Nosferatu was actually a real vampire.
Oh, just like Nicolas Cage.
Exactly. So it's basically, this is a remake of, well,
adaptation.
No, Shadow would be a remake of this. But that adaptation block doesn't count if we're watching the movie Adaptation.
It does. Because it is an adaptation.
I know, but I'm just joking.
We already did that movie, though.
We did do that movie, right? And that was one of the ones with something secret at the very end of the credits. Remember how we lost our mind at the end of that?
So I was thinking, Mike, if we want to revisit one we've already revisited, could we rewatch a movie again? Like, revisit Adaptation again?
You mean, like, record it? Or just watch it on our own?
No, I mean, like, record another podcast, like, rewatch that again. Or are we going to say that the next, like, 60 Cage movies we're going to watch, or 70 Cage movies, are going to be the next, or the 70 that we haven't done yet?
I was under the assumption we were going to rewatch them all first.
Well, so was I, but...
Out of order.
All right.
But, I mean, look, There's no rules to this part, which is what's so great. Like, we haven't really...
No rules, just right.
Yep. We didn't really plan this out. It was just kind of like, we wanted to rewatch the movies. Why not record something more and have that tent out there?
And life is too short to not watch movies that you actually enjoy.
Oh, get ready for this, Kara.
This is very
I would prefer not to.
This is real, too. He does this.
Oh, no.
Life.
Cockroach. Ah! Second movie with cockroaches today.
Oh, yeah.
He did that a couple times.
Yeah, he did like 3 or 4 takes, mm-hmm. I think.
Oh, God.
And they're like, I think they're...
And that's not even the most method thing he does in this movie. Just wait.
I don't even think that was like... I think that was the first take, but he did more. He's so happy.
In case you're not watching the movie, he just ate a cockroach. Although, if you're not watching the movie, why do you listen to us talk about Vampire's Kiss?
Oh, so to answer your question, ultimately, I think it would be kind of funny if someone was listening along to us and they come along and they see that we do adaptation twice before doing, like, a horrible movie we don't want to, like, Season of the Witch or something like that. Like, that could be kind of funny. I see the value in it, but we'd have to get another guest on, and a different guest. We couldn't have Zach back on.
Well, so here's the thing. We could do it again with Zach, but
no rules.
We have only done 15 of these, I think.
Albus Home.
We're not doing all of them. This is a 3-year project, essentially. We still have dozens of movies that we both love. It's going to be when we get to like through like 50 of them, you know, like in
mm-hmm.
2 years. Or whatever.
I feel like you and I have to do like a marathon one day where we just blow through all the rest of the video on demand stuff.
Like, we need to do like 6 90-minute movies in one day.
Oh my god.
Well, you're saying oh my god to 6 90-minute movies in a day?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amateur hour nowadays. I mean, talk to me a year ago and maybe, but after the Rocky incident.
Oh. We've talked about it, I think, on this revisited. When we saw all 7 Rocky movies in one day at the Alamo Draft House, it broke Mike.
I was crawling out of the theater, shaking.
Like, was that at the Yonkers one?
Crawling is an exaggeration, but he got to my car and basically shriveled into a ball and was just like shaking for a couple minutes on the ride home, just like exhausted by what we had just done. And I was like, oh, I'm fine.
Yeah, it didn't faze him one bit.
I can do 7 in a day. I've done
like
eight in
a day. Chink in his armor. Meanwhile, I'm like literally fighting a battle in my underwear. Like, what is happening? Where am I? No, I still can't watch a lot of Rocky without getting like.
It also doesn't help that those movies are mostly not good.
No. Yes, you're right. I mean, when I was counting on Rocky 6 to really like bring me something good, like, I should have known better.
Rocky 1, great. Rocky 2, not great. Rocky 3's pretty fun, but I was disappointed by because people had said you're gonna love this. Rocky IV, obviously the greatest movie of all time.
So wait, just hang on a second. Alva in her bra.
Yep.
Oh right, and Peter at the window
because she called out sick. But this is the first time we see Alva in any sort of like, not
right.
That she's and like particularly sexualized because
yeah.
Her bra is also very like.
Yeah, but she's not Little House.
Yeah.
On the Prairie. Oh, but how funny was it? Like, I know
her
this was
down.
A kind of a different situation when we did the Hey Arnold Schwarzenegger 5 movie marathon in a day because it was only 5 movies and they were very different than each other. Unlike
yeah.
Rocky, which is almost just the same movie every
incoherent.
Time.
It's 20%.
Each
movie has 20% of the previous movie in it.
But I literally came home from that night and watched Pumping Iron. I was like, I'm not done with Schwarzenegger yet.
Yeah. 5 in a day, I think, is really actually pretty easy to get through.
5 is good, yeah.
Above 5, you know.
7 is a... And to be in the theater for all 7, too.
Although, to end with Creed...
Creed is the best. It's sensational.
It's so good. Have you seen Creed?
Mm-mm. That's the recent one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You could basically go Rocky, Rocky 4, Creed.
Creed. And then Creed 2, which is Rocky 4 too, which isn't out yet, which is they're writing now.
I'm so bummed that Stallone's like, I'm going to take over again, you know? Yo, this could be my last movie. And it's like, bro, things were going so good. Like, I know it's your baby, but like, when other people touch it, they make stuff so much better with it. Like,
yeah, hey, Stallone, remember when you didn't get involved and you almost got... Was he nominated for an Oscar? Or
yeah,
he was nominated for an
Oscar.
He didn't win.
At least a Golden Globe.
But yeah, remember how like... You let somebody else do it, and, like, you were great? Like, why don't we do that again? I also don't think, though, that anything with Michael B. Jordan can be really bad.
Mm.
flash forward to That Awkward Moment, my least favorite Zac Efron movie.
That came before
Creed. I know, but also flash forward to Fantastic Four, which is not
that
bad.
That also came before Creed.
I know. Did it?
Yeah.
No.
Didn't it? Same year?
Same year, maybe. 2015?
Summer of?
2015.
Yeah, but now flash forward to February, where he's Black Panther's nemesis.
Yeah.
Like, he looks crazy in that movie.
So her boss came to her house and convinced her to come to work?
I was just gonna... Yeah, this is insane,
this
right?
is why I work from home.
Yeah, right?
Like, when does the boss ever come to an employee's house, let alone...
Inappropriate boundaries.
Take him back to work with them.
Is this your art on your phone, too?
Oh, yeah. This is awesome.
Very
man.
Cool.
Thank
also
you.
Society 6?
Yes.
Society6.com/bimps?
Yep.
Nice. Buy Kara's stuff.
Need some cage art up there. No, you don't really need some cage art up there. Maybe one.
No, but you know
no,
who does...
What you should do is you should do a series of portraits of Alva in her different dresses.
Oh my god.
Well, you should add, yeah, this vampire to your vampire lady handbag things.
That is good. But that is
Alva
an excellent
in
idea.
Her dresses.
Or just take the dresses patterns and make them into patterns for other things, like wallpapers based on Alva's dresses.
The Alva collection
yeah.
from A Vampire's Kiss. At Ralph Lauren or whatever.
And the thing is, you have to paint them all while on mescaline.
Okay.
Is mescaline... like, is it... It's illegal, right? I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Just, that exhausted him. Is that a workout?
No.
Every time
but
he yells.
I think it's Cage's.
Oh,
is
wow. Okay. Are you all right?
Shut up, bitch.
Good job.
What did you cross off?
He is exasperated.
Oh, 100%. Kara, I hope you realize we have 45 minutes left of this movie. There's a level of crazy that we still haven't gotten to.
Yeah, that's so true. Like,
there's
this
a
is
few
average,
things.
Basically.
We've seen some peak freakouts. But there's a few things that I can have in mind. Her brother, number one.
Who we're meeting here.
Number two, in the alley downstairs, or in the basement, or whatever. Number two. It's pretty remarkable how good this movie is.
I think this is the second time she's worn this dress, though.
Yeah, it seems like they've, like... rearrange
her,
some of the movie.
Her wardrobe
place.
Budget was not huge.
Like, I got the sense that stuff was reorganized at some point.
All right, you have four dresses and this bra. You decide what you wear in each scene.
I mean, I'm sure the budget for this wasn't through the roof either, and Cage might be wearing his own suits.
So do you remember, what were we... Oh, it was It Could Happen to You, because it was the episode that just came out as we're recording this. Bridget Fonda takes a cab ride from wherever to the Millionaire's Cruise, mm-hmm. and it's like under $20. You're like, you can't take a cab ride anywhere in the city for under $20. And she tells to keep the change, blah, blah, blah. Here, 6 years before, wherever they went from, wherever
they're
they went
Pelham,
to,
right?
it
was Pelham, which is like above the Bronx.
Yeah.
$28, though.
And they haven't even left her neighborhood yet.
Saying it's pretty pricey.
Yeah. No, but I think that was the point.
Why aren't they taking an Uber?
To you, it should have been way more money. Right?
You
it
should think?
Have been way more than $20.
In 94?
If in whenever, it's like they went like a couple blocks and it's still... Oh, man.
Hard C.
Hard C.
What I wish...
Lots of slurs flying around this movie.
I wish...
Yeah, I think she's Hispanic, and she just said the Hispanic slur.
Okay, yeah, because I was just like...
I see her face, Kara, trying to figure it out. And this, I don't know if the screenwriter intended her to be Hispanic or not, but...
I wish that they were speaking Spanish, because then we could have subtitles, and I would win, bingo.
Oh, that, for me, is, you know, my number one thing about all movies, is that when you have two characters alone by themselves that speak another language, let them speak that damn language and just subtitle this shit. I mean... Nothing screams more you're watching a movie than something like that, you know? And that just makes me feel so good. I love when that happens. And that's why I love The Man of Tai Chi so damn much, because Keanu does that in Man of Tai Chi. He basically made a foreign language film, and only the people who know how to speak American are talking English.
44.50, look at that.
What a fucking asshole.
He's terrible. He's under the influence of either mescaline...
Well, he was originally an asshole, yes. And now he's under the influence of mescaline and or a vampire.
See,
so.
And what I feel is...
And low blood volume, because he's been drained of most of his blood.
This is all very pressure because he can't find that fucking file, and he's putting it all on Alva, and he's driving himself crazy with stress because he thinks that he might get fired. So that's a possibility. Here, this is wrong. This is like, I'm going to get you alone, and I'm going to have my way with you. That was scary.
He was complaining that he shelled out $50 to get her here. He didn't have to.
No. No. He could have let her have a sick day. Also, he's spoken to the guy on the phone who said, take your time, I'm moving right now anyway, like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But what just occurred to me is that the contract was with Der Spiegel, which is a German magazine.
Are you ready for
maybe.
This? Hold on, sorry. He cannot see his reflection. Christ, where am I? It's really a level of acting that... It's so good!
You forget. Like, you just forget so easily.
You're in the goddamn crapper.
Look how he's like...
Is he gonna cry? He's on the verge of tears. He hasn't cried yet. I'm not gonna cross that off. You were saying Der Spiegel is a German magazine.
Yeah, and I wonder if the author is Dracula.
Ooh. Dun dun dun.
It's a series of decisions he's made for this movie.
You know what it feels
very
like?
Very specific decision.
It feels like someone with Tourette's that can't talk. You know, like, so instead of saying obscenities, you just have, like, the twitching and the jerking stuff.
It's like that, but it's also, like, three or four other things. Like, it's not just
yes, on
that.
Top
it's,
of that.
It's
yeah.
everything that it could be, it is.
But also just to be able to come to the realization...
Like, this is
in
a creepy shot, too.
Yeah.
Probably just, like, on the top of a bus or something. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
double-decker.
Like, but also just the, like, he just went to the bathroom and then, boom, he discovered he was definitely a vampire in that moment, and I bought it. You know what I mean? Like,
well, no, I think he's had his suspicions.
Right, but that did not seem like the place to reveal, you know, learning the truth.
I'm a vampire!
Like, and it's the bathroom, like, at work. I don't know.
But also, it's like, so he can't see his reflection, but we can.
Right.
Right.
So, that's interesting.
She's back. She's at work. Now, this is a telling sequence, right? Because I believe this is when he finally assaults her. She finds
Oh, good. It. So there's also assault.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in addition to all the assault that's happened so far.
And this is the crossing over of his personal life into his professional life.
Mm. Can't leave it at home anymore.
Cash. Can't leave home without it. Or is that American Express?
Wait. Yeah, that's American Express. Cash rules everything around me.
Cream. Get
the money.
Different hairstyle. He became emo since the last time we saw him.
Who are these people? Where did they come from?
The cab driver and his wife.
His wife. His baby.
Oh my God. Okay.
Wearing the same clothes from the picture.
Which they probably took on set here. And then just posted.
I also think that's a way to remind you this is who those people are.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. He looks like he just stepped out of a Flock of Seagulls concert.
Dude, it's amazing.
He ran. He ran so far away.
It's too late, Alva.
Oh my God.
Scary, right?
Oh my God.
It's.
Now this is a workout.
Crossing it off.
That was some.
I thought he was going to stop and take a sip of water.
So did I.
At the water.
I was
water
expecting
belt,
the water.
We saw him take a sip before. It takes it like a real goofball. But get ready, we are building to a hell of a climax in the scene. one that you will not see coming. He looks like... I don't know how to describe his aesthetic.
It's just Cage, man. Like, no, you know, like, I don't feel like you can touch this right now.
It's really unparalleled in... Like, this is arguably his one of his best roles, one of his most interesting movies. Not his best
movies. Oh, God. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah, Kara. Sorry.
He's daring her to do it.
He said he's gonna rape her.
Is the gun going off, or is he
they're
just
blanks.
Slamming things?
No, oh, okay. The gun's going off with their blanks.
Yeah, he didn't have real bullets. But this really happens.
And he bites her. Sort of.
Well, I mean, I think the implication is he's raping her.
It's just...
See, he gets into it.
This is very similar, actually, to Devil's Advocate, where he's, like, having sex with Charlize.
Interesting.
And then it becomes his sister. Spoiler, Al Pacino is the devil.
I think I knew that.
Which, man, I've been thinking about that recast for the past week. Trying to get that down for when we record.
I haven't even begun thinking about it, because I don't know how you recast Al Pacino in that role. Now, this Kara... Nicolas Cage actually took a gun with a blank, put it into his mouth, and pulled the trigger. Which it doesn't... It doesn't shoot... Like, what is it? Like, it ignites.
They're a little different than, I feel like, blanks now, but it's more of, like, they were, like, caps. And, like, giant caps, but, like, yeah.
But, like, not safe to do, and he...
No. You could blow your eardrums out, yeah, or even worse, something to your throat. Plus, that's how... that boohoo... Plus, that's how
Cage cries.
Brandon Lee.
Yeah, that's how he died, right?
Blank, and there was like a piece of the charge is what shot out. You know, so it's still not safe to shoot yourself with blanks. Boo hoo.
Boo hoo!
Has he eaten?
No.
Yeah, I don't think you've seen him eat.
He drank alcohol.
I don't have that one.
I like how billiards or bowling, like, those two are synonymous with each other.
Well, no, because neither of them happens too often, so it's like one or the other.
It's amazing how many times he is in either of those.
This is a pretty great scene.
He's just running down the street screaming, I'm a vampire.
Now tell me, how many times have you seen that?
In New York City?
In New York, right? Like, that's what I love about this movie.
That's just Tuesday, man.
Right.
Because I think if I remember right, when they shot this...
7 years bad luck.
When they shot this, they didn't really have permits, and it's like the people's reactions to him on the street were just like... what they were at, they thought they saw a crazy man, right? Like,
they just went and ran and run and gunned a lot of this stuff. Because it was... I think a lot of it was shot in, like... Maybe not this stuff, but they ran around, like, the Lower East Side, the Lower West Side, Alphabet City, and just, like, you know, at night.
In the 80s.
In the 80s, exactly. It's like way less populated than I feel. Plus, there is even to
this someone
day,
makes a threat. He definitely has made many threats.
See, he's in a coffin.
There's some law about filming without permits in Manhattan. Even to this day, now you can, but you have to leave within like 30 minutes or something. So, like, it's more regulated to amateur as opposed to like you know, people who could actually get permits.
That's cool. This is the DVD box art cover, I think. It's her sitting over him being crazy,
I love
right?
that earring, whatever the hell
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, that's cool.
Oh, no, maybe not the DVD box art cover, but it's definitely the letterbox cover.
It's like a famous poster cover.
Yeah.
It's kind of giving me some vibes I watched recently, which was kind of good. I don't know if you guys ever heard of Lair of the White Worm.
No.
But it's like this weird... It's also a Bram Stoker novel, but it was adapted... in Britain. It's got Peter Capaldi is in it, and Hugh Grant.
Hmm.
And it has to do with sort of like a vampire woman, maybe, if she might be real or not. There's a lot of similar themes going on, but they're completely different movies.
Oh, poor Alva.
It's just the idea of the female vampire.
I hope you realize that the name of this movie could be Poor Alva.
I think it should be I'm a vampire. Like, all that is the title.
When I saw her...
Is that the brother. Oh my God! Is that the guy? Is that
yeah. Simon Cowell? It is Simon Cowell.
The guy in the middle.
Yeah, Simon Cowell.
No, he's. Oh, I'm sorry.
That guy,
fellow listeners. Yeah,
I expected that shot. Like when she turns around with the thing of eggs, I expected Nicolas Cage to be sitting at the table.
I'll tell you in a minute who I thought that guy was. You're gonna.
I think I know who you mean, but I can't place him. He's eating, technically.
Is so he eating or is he not, biting?
He's not Kevin Corrigan, who was in the show I used to watch, Grounded for Life, with Donald Loge, who you know from Terriers. But Kevin Corrigan has been an Italian character actor in tons of stuff.
Yeah.
He's in The Departed as Leo's cousin.
Yeah, he does look a lot like him.
I think I know who you mean. Yeah.
He's on Fringe.
Come on, speak
seasons.
Spanish. Use subtitles. Give me that sweet.
They might
sweet
be win. Italian, actually.
Alva?
Yeah.
Oh, she might be. Yeah, you're right.
Fine, speak Italian.
Well, yeah. But...
What have I seen Kevin Corrigan in recently? Aside from everything.
He was the one. When he showed up in Fringe, he was the one character in Fringe that I was just like. They didn't really wrap up, and I was so.
He's been in 148 things. Oh, he was in Results. He was the rich guy in Results. He was in The Missing Girl, which I saw.
He was in Pineapple Express as
Knight
one of the main
Cups.
Thugs. He's the guy who's like, I'm leaving. I'm going home to my wife and kids. And the guy's like, you can't.
Oh, he's going to a magic shop. I love a good magic shop.
This is where he gets his fangs.
Carrie, you want to know something weird? I saw the movie Novitiate last night, which is about nuns in the 1960s, and it stars Jill Garvey, stars Margaret Qualley.
Okay.
And in the film, there's a flashback to when she's a young girl. Her father is played by Tommy Garvey. So brother, sister,
creepy.
The Leftovers, essentially father-daughter in this. Like, she's, you know, eight or whatever, or 8 or 10, as opposed to 1920, but it's weird that, you know, basically both college-age kids... Hmm. Became father-daughter. And I was like, because he's only in one scene, I was like, who is...
They're barely...
But he looks familiar, because he hasn't been in the show lately, so I haven't, he's not on my top brain. And, because I knew she was in this, I went to see it for her. And then, when the movie ended and the credits were rolling, I looked up on IMDb and I said out loud in the theater, oh, holy shit!
Oh, they're not really in, like, the third season all that much, right?
Yeah, no, he definitely isn't. I mean...
They show up on, like, a...
No, he's in the beginning.
Yeah.
And they show up on, like, a phone call at one point.
It's weird, though, that he's in the beginning with that scene with Liv Tyler and then just, like, not in the rest of the show. Which is an interesting choice.
As is the scene in the movie that we're watching right now.
I gotta go back and rewatch seasons 1 and 2. I only liked them, but I loved season 3 of The Leftovers.
Well, if you love 3, you should love 2. One is a very different series. Different season.
But shot mostly in Nyack.
Yep. Which we are very close to.
What's up?
Right now.
I've realized that my superpower is, like, recognizing filming locations.
Well, you know what's weird? Season 1 shot in Nyack, season 2 shot in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Season 3 shot in Australia.
The Path on Hulu is also shot in Nyack a
really?
Lot. Yeah, and just, like, the general area. And there's, like, an overhead, like, drone shot coming in from the river of this, like...
And you're in the shot?
I'm not in the shot, no, but I recognize it. It's, like, one of the opening scenes of the very first episode, and it's, like, this weird little parking lot in Piermont, and I was like, oh, I know exactly who that is.
If you've seen Young Adult, they film all around Nyack.
Oh, okay.
There. I recognized it instantly. I was like, holy crap.
Catch Young Adult and watch The Throne this fall.
That's right.
Yeah, there's tons of shit shooting there now. It's actually really weird.
I wonder if there's some kind of tax incentive thing
there
that's
is,
going on there. And plus, there's some locations you can use for a lot of America. Like, it can double for so much.
And you're also close enough to New York that if you need to do New York for something, you can do New York. It's also got a pretty killer mall.
The New York State Film Board gives a lot of tax incentives, and then there's also, like, on the county level, too, and Rockland has a lot.
I'm one away from bingo.
Yeah, I've been one away from
I'm one away in a lot of
different
directions.
I need a helicopter or subtitles.
Speaking of Rocky, I know those are chickens, but... You get a little Rocky moment here of him chasing some pigeons.
Hey, used to be a lot of order.
Is he going to eat the drink the blood of the pigeon?
Most likely that is his intention.
Some season 3 angel shit.
That was when they had like the detective agency.
Well, that I should have said season 3 Buffy.
Oh, okay, okay.
Cage eats if he eats, but it has to be on screen.
I watched Angel up until the puppet episode.
Yeah, it's not great.
But I liked Spike and Angel and everybody. I thought it was a cool idea. The demon dude.
Man, there's so many feathers on that pigeon that he demolished.
Well, I didn't know he was going to pluck it first.
What are you going to do?
Oh, he definitely ate it.
Okay, he definitely ate.
But we don't know it for sure. You can give yourself the points.
I feel like we missed a shot where he coughs out like feathers from his hand, like poof. I wonder if that painting on his wall has any deeper meaning. There's like two guys standing together and then one guy standing by himself.
Yeah, probably two guys saying like, look at that guy over there, he's crazy.
Looks like an Edward
Hopper.
You think that
freaks a vampire? His makeshift coffin.
Oh my god.
Like, wouldn't it have been amazing if there was a scene where he actually went out and bought a coffin and dragged it home through the streets?
No, I think I prefer this.
I could see, you know, him not going 100%. Like, I'm a makeshift vampire.
Because he doesn't want to believe. Like, he's making do with the fact that he's a vampire. He doesn't want to embrace
it. Nice
this
shot.
Looks like the same position from the opening shot in the credits, just later in the
this
day.
This is also the same?
Mm-hmm. Just more panning tall buildings, tilting tall buildings.
But, like, the same buildings from the same vantage point.
Right, yeah. Just left over from the opening credits.
Is this montage? Just kidding.
This is montage.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, this is. This would definitely count as, like, you know, interstitial montage stuff.
So I can win if there's a helicopter, if there's subtitles, or if someone plays a musical instrument. How is there not a helicopter? This is New York City.
I know.
Where's Chopper 4?
Exactly. Chopper
1. I can win if there's a war.
Well, there is a war between... Helicopter! Helicopter!
Oh.
Bingo!
I won too. Oh.
Did you win too?
Yeah.
So we tied win. Win tie.
Oh, that's a
If this was
shoot.
Called I'm a Vampire, I also would have won.
You think that's Al Cerullo? Is Al Cerullo credited to this? So there's a guy who's been, like, basically a helicopter pilot in hhundreds of Hollywood movies, and he's in like 8 Cage movies. Mm. And we asked Marco, we're like, do you know Al Cerullo? He's like, nope. So we're like,
must have been before your time.
End of that thread. I went 2 for 2 today.
I think this is like the... Usually when I get bingo, it's way earlier. This is like one of the later times in the...
Mike, we really have to earn this one. How many total ones do you have crossed off? Not including the middle one.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I have 9, not including
1, 2,
the free
3, 4,
space.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I have,
okay.
I have 3, 6, 9... I have 13 crossed off.
Wow. This is great.
It's so good.
I love how they added that smoke... The smoke trailing him? It's like he's emanating the vapor. Like, it's his vampire vapor, but it's just a smoke machine on the corner.
Kara, there was one episode where one of the first times we did bingo, which was with Zach, he won bingo, I want to say, 15 minutes into the movie. We were like, oh, or did I win? One of us won.
What movie was that?
I don't remember.
I think it was Next.
It might have been Next.
Which...
Dancing!
You guys, like, yeah, I got Dancing.
Does someone play a musical instrument? Do we see it? Is there a live band? And are we considering turntables a musical instrument?
Oh, I do. Absolutely. Turntables, you know, if you ask me,
I could show you
how to use them as a musical instrument, as a drum, as a guitar. He is in his element. This is my people.
Come on, show me a band. Show me a band.
I love the chandeliers in, like, this meatpacking district type club. Turn around.
It's truly remarkable.
Because, you know what's amazing? Like we were saying kind of before, like, there's people that just are weird like that.
Yeah.
Like, you guys have been to bars and clubs, and, you know, generally there'll be someone kind of wandering around by themselves, like, you don't want to get too close to.
There's so many extras in this scene.
I love how he's got his hand up. Like, he's so Victorian right now. Like, he's acting like he's from the age of the first vampire, almost.
Do you think that they actually just shot, like, in a normal club, or do they cast all these people?
That's hard to say. They probably, like, rented the club and said, every extra, we're filming here tonight, like, if you want to be in a movie, come to this club on this day. I don't know, I have a feeling that's central casting all the way.
Oh, look, a young woman doing cocaine by herself. It's the perfect victim.
He's like, what have
he
you
looks
discovered?
At the camera.
He is really good in this.
He prowls over to her. She looks a little Shelley-ish or something. Like, there's something...
Mary Shelley?
He kills her, right? He does something.
He whispers, I'm a vampire. Which is probably actually what he said.
Yeah, he's just...
That's what Bill Murray says to at the end of the movie in Japan with Black Widow.
Lost in Translation. That is the weirdest way to describe Lost in Translation.
I was having a
brain... Oh, yeah, directed by Domino, that movie in Japan with Black Widow.
Okay.
Now, I
that
can't
escalated
imagine
quickly.
Being able to bite a girl with fake vampires.
No, you definitely cannot.
Plus, I kind of feel like he's not that strong. Like,
he is weak, but he's also...
He caught her off guard, though.
He's the embodiment of white Hollywood.
Plus, isn't there a space on the neck? Like, you can really puncture a certain artery there.
Jugular.
He'll bleed out easily.
Jugular.
Yeah. So he probably hit the jugular.
Oh, because he does kill her.
Oh. That's interesting.
Don't do coke alone in a strange club.
Obviously.
The most remarkable thing about this...
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he really killed her. He's like, whoops, I killed her.
He took the teeth out, put it back in. The most remarkable thing about the scene is that this is a huge room where there's literally no one else.
Yeah.
And she's surrounded by empty glasses and empty beer bottles, like...
Seems like an entirely different location. Now it feels a little more connected.
You know what? If we were remaking this, directed by Nicholas Winding Refn.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, perfectly. We should write him and tell him to remake this movie. We should just send him a copy of this, like hundreds of copies... Until he agrees.
Who would play the lead?
Who would play Cage? I don't want to go back to the Gosling well, but...
All-female reboot of Vampire's Kiss.
Ooh, make it like one of the...
Elle Fanning could just be the lead?
Mm-hmm.
Just recast her in every Winding Refn movie? Who would you cast as him, though? Man or woman?
Yeah, I'm
thinking Bring Cage back.
Shia? I think Shia is the easy choice for, like, when Cage is crazy, who can we put into that character actor type of role?
The problem is no one does...
No. You know who I would do?
It would have to be, like, a motion-captured creature or something.
I would do... I don't know if... It wouldn't be as good, obviously, because this is, like, the best. I would do Christopher Abbott.
Okay.
Who is from Girls. He plays Shosha's boyfriend. No, not Shosha's boyfriend. Who is he... Oh, he plays... God, who does he play in Girls?
What about Adam Driver? He's got the look.
Nah, I don't think
he's
do
too
it.
Famous, but I don't know. I wish he could.
Oh no, Christopher Abbott played Marnie's boyfriend on Girls. Did you watch Girls?
No.
I never watched Girls.
I am talking to the wrong crowd. He was in It Comes at Night. Did you
okay.
see that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He was James White in James White.
Okay.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
I can't place him. It Comes at Night, there's like guys with beards. Okay, he looks a little Affleck.
But he's a better... He can actually act, though.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean...
He's in a new movie that I really want to see called Sweet Virginia, which is him and John Bernthal.
Ooh, I like that guy a lot. Yeah. I don't know. Who do you get as Alva?
You need some... Rosie Perez.
No, everyone...
50-year-old Rosie Perez.
Then you just recast Cage, like I said. You pick up with Peter now.
Because I think Christopher Abbott gets the vulnerability. Because there's a vulnerability to Peter Lowe in this movie. It's just... he's overcompensating.
Oh, look, it's the actual vampire.
It's
he sees her
that
eye.
Her?
No, is that the vampire or is it the other girl?
No, I think that's the other girl.
I think it's
He thinks it's the vampire.
Right.
And then she starts laughing at him. See, that's the vampire.
No, it's not. That's the other girl.
No way.
It's the other girl
with
the wig.
Wow, that's the switcheroo?
It's the other girl with the wig,
no,
right?
No, because watch. She's going to laugh.
Ah, another hard C.
Yeah. That was even before it kind of became in vogue.
What, the hard C?
Yeah. Not that it should be used, but see? Look at her. It's her. It's
no, no, no. That's not the vampire.
I'm pretty sure.
No, that's the other girl.
I don't think so. Well, that's why I love this movie, because of that. Because of we can have
Who
arguments
can say?
Like that.
If any of you have overreaction or Cage freaks out, now would be the time to cross off.
Oh, I marked those off ages ago.
See, that's the other thing. He thinks he's invulnerable.
Oh, this is great. They all do the cross fingers at him.
Kara, I hope you're ready for...
Oh my god.
Maybe the best 15
minutes. I this has been a lot so far. Oh, number three.
I've only said Minions three to four.
Four.
So I said Minions as many times as he's dropped the hard C.
Oh.
The sun. So run towards the sun?
Now, if he was rational, which he's very clearly not, he would be able to know that running in the sun, he would, like, melt or burn.
Well, he says they can't take it anymore, so I think he's actually hurtling towards self-destruction on purpose.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of that suicidal tendency in this film. He asks Alva to kill him, he's doing, mm-hmm. he's aggressive towards people, he kind of almost wants someone to beat him up or to kill him for him.
Like, should I add suicidal tendencies to the list? It's either when somebody is suicidal or a song by the suicidal tendencies. Plays on the soundtrack. Which
How
I
often
don't think
is that? I think Iron Man 1, he listens to a suicidal tendency song as the one, all I wanted was a Pepsi, just one Pepsi, and she wouldn't give it to me, just one.
Oh, that's, what's it? That's the song from Guitar Hero 2, Institutionalized, right?
Institutionalized, yeah.
Suicidal Tendencies on IMDb. Soundtrack of 20 things. Young Adult.
Wow.
Iron Man. The Blue Hour. Lightning Bug.
Never heard of these.
Yulee's Gold. Empire Records. The Brady Bunch movie, Institutionalized. SFW.
They never made a third Brady Bunch movie, unfortunately.
Miami Vice, one episode. Man, Institutionalized.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Oh, by the way, I know you commented on the Back to the Future poster in Happy Death Day? The Mondo poster on the wall? Well, there's also a Criterion Repo Man poster on that wall that is not getting
any
love.
Is he going to try and stake himself?
Probably.
Just you wait.
Those two people have no idea a movie's being filmed.
Like, those are not actors.
No,
those are just New Yorkers.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. That is such great delivery. Oh, why isn't that a red sports car?
There's a red car.
Our thing about the sports car.
I also have read Sports Car on here, so I would get a check-off.
Check-off.
R.I.P. Anton Yelchin. It's so good.
Okay, so like...
Does that bell count as a musical instrument?
Well, here's the thing about the bells. That's a hunchback thing, not a vampire thing. Like, the hunchback rang the bell.
I think it's just like a broadly Catholic thing, you know?
Is he driving the Knight Rider car?
Kit.
That guy in a red shirt and a wheelchair, is that a red sports car?
They don't know a movie's being filmed, I'll tell you that much. Look at them just... Look at the people passing by.
I do want to know if they shot any scenes where people were like... Because he'd been in things that people had seen.
But he wasn't like a famous face yet. Like, he wasn't facially famous, I feel like.
He's also bloody as hell. It's probably like 7 in the morning.
Let's put it this way. It's not the kind of guy where
Disco
you...
Disco death. Like, girl victim of bizarre murder.
It's not the kind of guy you would notice not sort of... followed by an entourage walking down. You know what I'm saying? If Nicolas Cage was just walking
out
down
of
the
context,
street by himself
Nicolas
back
Cage.
Then, I doubt he'd be recognized.
I mean, I probably wouldn't recognize him now if he was walking down the street by himself.
I hope you would.
And very...
You have at least one shirt with his face on.
Very bad at recognizing people.
He would most likely have a beard. I feel like he grows that between movies to sort of stay incognito a little bit.
Warren Zevon, Werewolves of London?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
California.
Oh! Just walked into the wall.
You guys, this movie is very good.
You picked a winner.
Yeah.
Californication, though, the David Duchovny show, which is not great, but he's whenever he writes, he does the three W's, or whenever he finishes a writing, he does the three W's: whiskey, weed, Warren Zevon. See, now here,
how did he get all cleaned up?
Because he's not. He's talking to himself on the street. See, he's got the thing in his hand.
Oh, he thinks he's at therapy.
He thinks he's at therapy, which begs the question.
So this movie is about mental illness. Yeah.
Yeah. At this point, he is now a mentally ill executive roaming the streets because he's had a psychotic break.
Yeah.
He's back up on that windowsill.
I'm a professional. I don't laugh.
She's clearly not a professional comedian then.
Like, he's got a goatee made of blood, which is pretty great.
Never seen that in any other movie ever.
And the woman's murder is already front page.
Yeah, it was last night, and it made the front page of today's news.
So you would think that, well, I mean, again, 80s New York, seeing a man walking around with a yeah. goatee of blood.
Not a single cop drove by. But maybe that's another comment, is like the lack of patrol, the number of people roaming the streets with random blood on their shirts.
If one thing is for sure from cage movie to cage movie, aside from women are going to be treated like dirt,
it's that cops
are bumbling idiots.
Okay. Suck at their job, except for Delroy Lindo and
Timothy Olyphant
in Gone in 60 Seconds.
What year was American Psycho made?
2000.
Really?
I was thinking those guys should get their own movie.
Which guys?
The guys Timothy Olyphant Gone in 60 Lindo? Seconds?
I don't think so. I think that's probably fine to stay as is.
I thought it was much older than that.
I want to watch that movie with just their parts and see how good it is.
He's getting so mad now.
Well, she's laughing.
She's a professional. She doesn't laugh.
Said she wouldn't.
Why is she laughing, though? The good doctor. She calls herself the good doctor. Wait, what, that he's a vampire?
The both of you, meaning, like...
Him and his vampire self?
Okay.
Sharon?
Sharon.
This is...
Wait a minute.
There's a lot of weirdness happening right now, Kara.
Oh, he's trying to get his imaginary shrink to set him up with her imaginary next patient. That's how far gone he is.
Well, you know, he's looking for love in all the wrong places in New York City.
Here she comes.
Yes. In total compliance with all psychiatry regulations.
Ethics regulations, yeah.
Let's introduce patients mm-hmm. and then couple them up.
Well, first...
You guys are broken in the same way.
Divulge details about private sessions.
Exactly, yeah. Screw confidentiality.
Oh, totally different
Very
type of woman.
Very different, yeah.
Similar hair, though, kind of.
It was the 80s.
She's way more Caucasian, you know?
And she's, like, almost blonde.
See, is this the whitewashing? Like, all those other Latinos and black girls that you've been
those
with?
Those are real...
You don't want them.
Those are real people. This is the fake.
But this is this is the idealized version,
but it's
though.
The But that's the lie. That's the big Hollywood like. That's the
so
lie.
What this
like
movie
that
is
this
saying
is
that
normal.
You think you want a white girl, but you actually want a vampire.
Not a vampire, but like I feel like he's attracted to the other, and
can you
he
laugh
can't
audibly
handle
so people know they can figure out the joke.
Cage. I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that Cage is mad that he's attracted to non-white women, and that bothers him. And it's like his fetish. Possibly, well, I think this scene is saying though is that. This is not the answer. That the girls in the movie are fine. That this ideal woman is wrong. That it's a lie. Like, he's even imagining it in his own head, you know?
I think that's a bit of a stretch, but sure.
Well, we gotta get...
I did rape someone a couple nights ago. A girl at the office. I just lost control.
Just did release, Carrie. It's totally fine.
And look, he's so relieved.
Oh, my God. I just thought I should tell you, okay?
There's a lot going on in this movie, and I love it all. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. That I should not love it, and yet somehow I do.
It just throws it all there. It doesn't organize it itself. It lets you do it if you want to, but you don't even have to.
I turned into a vampire. It's a long story.
Goodness.
She just looks at him like, Peter.
I love the justification of everything, you know? Like, oh, people get murdered in New York every day, so you killed someone. Who cares? Big deal.
Who among us hasn't?
Yeah. No one's come back, and that actress doesn't come back at all. She looks very familiar.
I have a wonderful life together, and I will take care of the cops.
She, to me, Mike, feels like she should be someone from Twin Peaks, just like anybody from Twin Peaks, because there's so much Twin Peaks crossover in his movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's on his blind date with Sharon.
Losing his mind.
He's completely off the deep end now.
Alternate title, New York State of Mind.
Oh, I like that.
With a theme song by Jay-Z and Rihanna.
It only takes 10 years to crack in New York if you're Cage. What was that lady I like handing out flyers and stuff? She definitely was.
She has a fun hat.
That was last week. This is this week. No more vampires.
Meanwhile, Alvin and her brother just sitting outside.
Staking out his apartment, yeah.
Just waiting.
Are they going to do a revenge killing, or...?
You have to wait and see.
Oh my god, I don't know if I could handle...
We have 7 minutes left of this movie, I think, including the credits.
This has been a lot. Wow.
It's kind of flew by.
Because it's a great film. I do forget how much I love this movie.
Tire iron.
Oh yeah, he's getting real ethnic. Because he's just vaguely ethnic of all... So like a tire iron is just like the weapon of choice.
Yeah, he is the melting pot of New York in one person, basically.
He is New York.
Oh. It's one of my favorite lines when we were doing... I remember pulling that quote.
Why couldn't you be normal?
Why'd you have to become a vampire? What's wrong with you?
You have a tire iron. Break in.
There we go.
Yeah. But you press every button in the hopes that one of them will buzz you in.
Well, you know, he doesn't want to... Why break a window if you don't have to?
When God breaks a window, he opens a door.
It's all for the greater good. It was just foreshadowed. People die in this city every day. Could be you, Peter.
That's a very Christ-like image on the wall with a light shining on his head.
But that
is that.
But it looks like a woman.
Looks like the mother, like Mary or something.
Yeah. It's like a lot of weird Catholic undertones, but nothing that really stands out. Like,
things are just sort of a dash of this, a pinch of that.
Yeah.
There's that documentary Room 237, which is about everybody's crazy theory.
Yeah,
about
I watched like 2 minutes and almost threw
and
up.
And they're like,
really? I loved it.
Oh, did
you? Danny's wearing a NASA sweater. That means that Kubrick filmed the moon landing.
It's like a fun thought experiment. If you don't take it too seriously.
But they took it seriously. Yeah.
I want them to do the same thing with this movie, where they're like, you see that like Virgin Mary painting on the wall? That's what this means. That's the key to unlocking this whole
thing.
Super
decode this. Yeah, I really wanted to give 247 a chance, but then I realized they were serious.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, I'm about to win again in bingo.
This is the only guy who does what he wants.
All he wants to do is die.
Oh.
More in the gut than the heart.
Yeah, that's gonna take a while.
It's like in a lung or something.
I won. I have 2 bingos now.
Oh, because he died?
Two. Yep.
Oh
my god, you know what I want so badly? Age. That the Paul Reubens death scene in the original Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, he kind of looks like Paul Reubens in that. Oh my god.
Yeah, if he could just do the thing with rolling around and...
Holy shit, I wonder if Paul Reubens pulled any of this for that. Look-wise.
I feel like... That came out before this.
You know, Buffy came out before this?
Buffy was 92.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah, and that was after Paul Rubens was, like, arrested and everything. Mm-hmm. It was sort of like his little comeback.
You know, that's one of the few movies that I'm really sad that we're not covering for, that we canceled Laugh Like, because, like, I wanted to do...
I was very much looking forward to that.
I went in there a Luke Perry fan, and I came out a Christy Swanson devotee.
Yes. Well, if either of you want to do it on Wistful Thinking...
Well, I was thinking of trying to come up with a show we could sort of cross all shows with, like, if we did a show a month about...
Where you just watch things that you want to watch.
Right, but we had, like, two or three people across the platform on. Like, yeah, I didn't need to be on every episode. Like, one person from each show.
Either you or me would have to be on every episode and edit it.
Yeah.
Right.
You need somebody
to... But I wouldn't have to be on every episode is all I'm saying, but...
So basically, Joey...
No.
Another show for you.
I'm just saying in general, like, we wouldn't all have to appear on every show.
You guys.
We could switch it around, but...
I am so glad that we watched
credits.
That was...
Round of applause.
What a trip.
Joke guy. Joke
David
girl.
David Pierce. Not yep. David High Pierce.
Mark Coppola and David Pierce back-to-back in the credits.
Jennifer Butt. Oh, that poor
hell
girl.
Yeah. Also, why did they number from the top down? Editor 321, Marriage Girl 21. That's strange.
There's voiceover. It's voiceover.
It's not Cage voiceover, though.
Yeah. Does mine say Cage? Oh, it does say Cage. Why does that one say Cage on top of it and all the rest don't?
Early in the movie, you're complaining. I want them all to be about Cage. Now the one is actually about Cage. I want it to be
well,
about
isn't
anybody.
Isn't that the way it goes? I mean, if it's not going my way,
you know, I actually... We were talking about, like, is this, was Jennifer Beals and the other woman...
Oh, right.
Like, was she, what he was doing with Jennifer Beals actually happening with the other woman? I would love to see this from that other woman's perspective.
Yeah.
I
would love every movie that exists to be a different take on this movie.
Well, what's so great about this movie is you can play out all these different versions in your mind, you know? Like, the movie invites you to think about what, like, perspective this is being seen from.
Yeah.
Like, poor Alva. Ugh.
Alva.
For her, this really was a horror movie, you know? Like, there's nothing funny about this whatsoever from her. But we're seeing him... do other stuff too. So when he's like attacking her, we're laughing at it. I'm not saying during like the rape scene, but I mean when he's like getting on, when he's like bossing her around at work and everything like that. Like it's funnier when you see everything else that he's gone through.
I have laughed the hardest when he's by himself. I find like that's when I feel comfortable laughing. Like anytime that he's with women, it's. You know, especially Alva. Like, that's just a very sad...
Poor, sweet Alva.
Sad storyline.
I just can't help it sometimes. Those facial contortions and his dialogue, his line readings, it's just insanity.
Well, go to cageclub.me or facebook.com/cageclub or at cageclubpod on Twitter. Get all the episodes of Cage Club Revisited. This is the 15th one. We are going to do them for just about every Cage movie. Oh, funny story, sort of, kind of. Is that someone I think might be on a future Cage episode, Austin Wolf Southern, who is somebody that I met on Letterboxd because his top four movies were, like, four amazing movies. I was like, oh, this is somebody that I need. Like, amazing in the way, like, Vampire's Kiss is there, Keanu's Flying was there. I think at one point, Can't Stop the Music, that Village People.
Oh,
it was just like, oh, this guy gets it. He might see me on the show. But anyway, he's doing a Nick Vember challenge or something.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Or Nick-cember or something. It's either November, December, whatever. And he watched Welcome to Hollywood.
Yeah, I saw
comment,
that.
And I was just like... And apparently Cage has had... It's no longer on Cage's IMDb. There's this movie called Welcome to Hollywood.
Because he's not in it.
That Mike and I watched, and Cage isn't in it. Like, he was credited as himself, and he's not in it.
Luckily, so. I really enjoyed that. That clue that turned me on to that director, Adam Rifkin. I really enjoy all of his work.
Also, Maniac Cop, which is, you know...
Two. Maniac Cop 2. Which was a Riff Coogan joint.
A Riff Coogan joint.
Yeah.
So anyway, facebook.com/cageclub, at cageclubpod on Twitter, cageclub.me. Watch all the, or listen to all the other Revisiteds, listen to Wistful Thinking, listen to the original Cage Clubs, do all that sort of stuff. Email us, mailbag@cageclub.me. Let us know if you made it all the way to the end. bingo cards available at cageclub.me. That's all I got. See you next time.
Thank you.